In the fall that I turned 12 years old, I was able to get a hunting license. Farm kids were hunting, of course, as soon as they were big enough to handle a rifle, but we couldn't deer hunt. So I'm 12 years old, and my dad and Bill Miller, the neighbor half mile away, had been going for several years. But now I had the opportunity to go along. Well, there was a 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun that weighed about, well, it weighed a lot. And so I'm to use this, it was a blunderbuss, the thing, I mean, it had a barrel, it never quit, you could hardly see the end of it. Well, this is a bit of an exaggeration. And we had slugs. Anybody that knows about deer hunting knows that when you deer hunt, you don't use fine shot, you use slugs. Well, when that shotgun went off, I mean, it, if you were standing up out in the open, it would drive you back 2 feet. I mean, it was wicked. It was very much like a horse kicking you on the shoulder when the thing went off. So I was a little fearful of this big old shotgun. We drive to Adams County. It's a beautiful day in late November. To make the hunt really work, it was good to have somebody walking through the woods to scare out the deer toward those who were standing on the other end. And my dad had selected me as the novice to perform that role. And so he dumps me off and he says, Bill and I are going to go on the other end of the woods, about a mile away. And he said, now you won't get lost. All you have to do is walk along the river, right? Which is true. I'm walking along the river and that big blunderbuss of a 12-gauge got so heavy. And I'm tired, and we had to get up at 4:30 to milk the cows in order to get there. So I lean it up against a tree, and I sit down, and I look at the river. Well, lo and behold, as I'm looking at the river, here comes what looks like a dog, swimming along, just its head sticking out. And this creature sees me, and it's, my gosh, I about jumped out of my skin. There was this slap on the water as loud as a rifle shot. Well, it was a beaver, of course, and this big old beaver pounded his tail on the water, which is the common way that beavers told the rest of the beavers that there was trouble ahead. I'd never seen a beaver. And I look upstream and I can see the beaver dam. And I'm watching these beavers now work at this dam. It was a fantastic thing to see. I mean, it almost was better than hunting deer. And then I thought, I better get on doing what I'm supposed to do. So I picked up my old blunderbuss and I wandered on through the woods. And after a half an hour or so, I come upon Pa. And he said, where have you been? And I said, well, I've just been taking my time. I would not admit that I was sitting there on the riverbank watching the beavers and having a wonderful time. Pa said, you should walk a little faster if we're going to get any deer this year. About 1948, I was in high school. And it had been an interesting winter, a lot of snow. And come spring, it warmed up in March, up to, I don't know, must have been in the 70s. And the snow melted fiercely. And our country where I grew up has a lot of hills and valleys. And the valleys quickly filled with water, including the roads were flooded. And so the school bus couldn't come by, nor could the milkman, nor could anybody, just like a winter storm. It's the unexpected in nature that I have always found fascinating, whether it's a fierce storm or a flood, or it's what you don't expect to happen, especially in our area. The idea of a flood was unknown. It's sand country. The ground was frozen. That's why the water didn't recede. And so when the unexpected happens, and my dad was good at this, his comment was, well, you got to make do. You take what's given to you, rather than sit back and say, oh my, you boys don't have to go to school now, and I don't know what we're going to do, and the milkman can't come by, and what we're going to do, all the milk and all of that. He said, well, you guys can walk to school. I used to walk a long ways. It'll be good for you. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was such fun to brag to the town kids, who were a bunch of wimps anyway, that we just walked 4.5 miles to get to school. We impressed our teachers, unbelievably, how we would do that. Well, what happened was when all these valleys froze over, The water didn't disappear, but there's about 2 inches of ice. So it took another 2-3 weeks before the water receded enough so that the school bus could come by and things would return back to normal. And we didn't have to walk 9 miles round trip to school, for heaven's sake. But this community of kids, there must have been a half a dozen of us, walking to school. I mean, we just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And to get there and be able to brag, oh man. I mean, we country kids were short on bragging rights anyway. The town kids had all the advantages, we thought. I mean, we didn't have electricity or anything. And now we could brag, by golly, we're in school, even though the school bus didn't make it. Oh, good golly, Miss Molly. When I turned 18 years old, there was still on the books a law in Wisconsin that said you could drink beer but not liquor or wine. And so there were beer bars all over the place just for 18-year-olds. And Lakeside Lodge in Hancock, now gone, had such a beer bar. And they also had this wonderful dance hall. And every Saturday night, all year round, I don't think they missed a Saturday night. Maybe it was Christmas Eve they didn't perform. But they invited in a polka band. And finally, I loved to polka. It took me a long time to learn how to do it. But here we would all show up. It was 50 cents is what it cost to get into the dance hall. And they would play all these wonderful polkas, the beer barrel polka. We call it the butcher polka. Put your arms around me, honey, hold me tight. And we knew all the words to these songs. And then they would do the old-time waltzes, the Tennessee waltz. I was waltzing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz. You probably want to take that part out. I mean, it was just fantastic. And, of course, we were there with our girlfriends, showing off our dance steps. None of us could dance with the hoop. The girls all knew how to dance. But the big deal was going into the 18-year-old bar where you could get, I think, 5 7-ounce bottles of Blatt's beer for a dollar, something like that. I mean, it was absurd. Well, we didn't have any money either, so we'd get our dollars worth of beer, and that was about it. But the thing that I remember most is the Lakeside Lodge is right on this wonderful lake. And there was often a full moon when we're trying to impress our dates, and we would take them down to the beach, and with the moon rising and the bullfrogs, harump, harump. I mean, why wouldn't that impress a girl to hear that wonderful sound of a bullfrog? While we're walking along the beach, and in the background, the butcher's song, put your arms around me, honey, hold me tight. Is playing. I mean, it was the best, absolutely the best. And of course, the band every so often would take a break, and then a bunch of us would walk along the beach, and then they would you would hear the announcer say, "We're now going to do a schottische," and we'd do the circle two-step, and then they would play some drag-along dance that some of us who didn't dance very well we could cuddle up a little closer to our dates. The beach and the lake made it what it was because the moonlight on the lake, I mean, who couldn't be impressed? And we, of course, after a couple of these cheap beers, were trying our darndest to impress our dates, which, as it turned out, we're not very impressed. I have long forgotten who these girls were, almost a different one every Saturday night. But these dances were absolutely fantastic. And people, in my mind, sometimes fail to realize that in this life, there's more than economics. And the idea of just sitting by a lake and watching it has value that exceeds most anything that you could write in your checkbook. I grew up understanding that. These lakes were created 10,000 years ago when the last glacier receded. We see natural vegetation all around it. And if you went out into it, my guess is that you could look probably to the bottom because there's no external pollution. It's a natural environment. And when I say that lake is 10,000 years old, it is. That's a long time. The extent to which our society can continue, and maybe this is an exaggeration, will depend on the extent to which some of this can be maintained to remind us that nature is important in our lives, and lakes and water are essential.